somebody said they was a breadwinner. Thought I heard somebody say they was a breadwinner. Thought I heard somebody say they want a breadwinner. Thought I heard somebody say they want a breadwinner.
T-Money, you're back to the podcast, and what news do you have for us?
I got some good news, everybody. Kevin Gates is officially out of prison. You may have just heard him on the intro.
T-Money, just a personal question. You don't mind, right?
Nope. I'm an open book.
Has anyone in your family ever been to prison?
No.
Okay, so you don't know the actual experience of what it's like to have a family member finally get free?
Do you?
Come on now. Of course I do. I remember, well, I probably shouldn't share anything else. We still got cases pending. It's a true story. True story. And lawyers probably don't want to hear me saying that. I'm not giving out any details either. So if you even if you think you're going to come into the chat and ask me this question, I'm an open book about everything, but not that, because I don't rat. So T-Money, you're back on the podcast. Now, you're probably wondering, if you're listening to this, I might have heard this guy before, or if you haven't heard him, who is this guy? Why doesn't he have a real name? I guess we could give you a real name, but the answer to that question is basically this. T-Money's the brother of that's somebody who's actually famous, and he doesn't want to use their fame or bring any bad publicity to his brother. So in fairness, we're just going to call him T-Money. But I'll give you a hint. His name starts with a T.
That's true. And I have a lot of money.
Well, we're going to talk about a lot of money in a little bit, but that's for a little later. And also the other thing. So I've been trying out some things with the Mailbag podcast, specifically having varying degrees of opinionated people on the podcast. And I've noticed that the more opinionated the person is, the longer these episodes are. T-Money has very few opinions.
Very little.
Well, I mean, if we talk about Kevin Gates, he's got lots of opinions.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about hip-hop, this kid from rural Washington has a ton of opinions. But anything else, he doesn't have an opinion. Do you even like boxing?
I'm not sure yet. Jury's out.
Okay, and then I know you have an opinion on Sasha Banks.
Yes, well, not anymore. I used to be a big fan, but I also have a strong opinion on anime.
And Nakamura and Asuka, which we'll get to later.
There's been a smear campaign in the Slack trying to paint me as a racist.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it a little later. I think we should at least touch on some boxing stuff before we talk about why you hate. Never mind. So let's start with the question. So T-Money he's going to ask questions and then participate in however he sees fit. He's in charge of this one. And do you want to take it away?
Yeah, sure. So first question.
He always has a sniffle, so just don't mind that.
Yeah, don't mind my sniffle. First question is actually not about boxing at all. is NJPW better than WWE? And that's from the fake White Ranger Rollins, not the real one.
Wait. So he asks a question and then says it's not him.
He said that someone was like posting his name on a bunch of questions, and he had to go through and put "not actually me" on most of them.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is actually a pretty good idea to like just destroy somebody, like just asking questions that they would never ask. Like, this is way too early in the podcast to be making jokes about the users. So, NJPW stands for New Japan Pro Wrestling. And this is a boxing podcast, so naturally, this is what the first question is. I don't know. I like have seen one match ever.
I have no idea either.
PW, and it was like one of the most recent ones featuring two Americans. So, like, how informed is my opinion? And the production was pretty bad, and the commentary was bad. Me and you could have done better commentary, I think.
Well, we can say that about pretty much any wrestling show.
All right, throwing shade. Michael Cole has won an Emmy or some journalist award covering war. He's a war hero or covers them. So I don't know about that. And I personally don't enjoy it that much. I didn't enjoy it. And plus, it's not in English.
Well, that wouldn't make me enjoy it very much. I haven't actually seen any of it. I know that they got Chris Jericho. That's all I know.
You absolutely hate anime.
Yeah, can't stand it.
And Japanese wrestlers, so you definitely wouldn't like it.
Okay, sure, whatever. Just lump in that second thing in there with it.
It's basically like passing a bill in Congress. You just throw on your own things at the end. Mm-hmm. Move on.
Okay, well, this is like a clarification question. Is the mailbag just another way of referring to the Sunday Puncher podcast?
No. Well, it's a version of the podcast. It's, you know, we do a normal one where we recap fights, preview fights, discuss the news. That's not what this is. This is basically you ask questions, we answer questions. That's it.
Well, community interaction.
Correct. Correct. And as the CEO of Sunday Puncher, mm-hmm. T-Money is all for these types of episodes.
Yeah, I actually own Sunday Puncher, but I'm a good delegator, so if you have any issues, just go ahead and send that to Nor Argent on Reddit. He can handle all that for me. next question. SOG versus Kerwood, who wins and why? Assume SOG's knee has healed since his last bout against the table. And that's from Ryan Garcia is the GOAT.
So somebody's name is Ryan Garcia is the GOAT. So people are probably like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm about to turn this podcast off. So in the Slack, we have trolls from now every now and then. And SOG, it was a massive troll. The degree to which we're still unsure of how far reaching his trolling went. And Kerwood is a guy who listened to the podcast. And he has listened to the podcast. Actually, that's how we found out about the, mm-hmm. the chat. And then he came in and then challenged us to Fight Night Champion, which of course we obliged. He went 1-1 with Tweed, and he beat me. Thank you for picking Mike Tyson. And then he talked trash. And so everyone just thought Kerwood was funny because he was like got really mad at Tweed. Now in Kerwood's defense, Tweed did take things a little too far. I think we can all agree about that. Mm-hmm. So I actually suggest you skip the next question.
You're suggesting me?
Yeah, you.
Okay, well, number six, though, the pound for pound troll of 2017. So if you're not in Slack, you probably won't understand any of these references. But the options are Low Place, James, Kerwood, Other, okay. or anyone else. Who and why?
Okay, so let me explain these trolls. So Low Place is not a troll. That is not a troll. That is a real person. You may find him on Twitter. Low Place is a guy with a Twitter and YouTube account that he's adamant that Adonis Stevenson is number one pound for pound in boxing. Now, you could understand if you're listening to this, you have to be trolling if that's your opinion. He legitimately thinks that. Like, we get trolls all the time, so I try to engage him in conversation like, well, you can't be really serious. Like, maybe I can hear the argument now of best at 175 in the current landscape. No. That's not what he's talking about. It's in the world, best pound for pound. And James is the winner. And let me give you the gist of James. James comes into the Slack. He ends every sentence with bud. Okay, bud? So James was a very good troll, bud. And then James also talked about his money, bud. He talked about he made a lot of money doing whatever. And he gave us suggestions on things to invest in. And so we're thinking like, all right, if this is legit and you got a lot of money, give us some suggestions because like we're down to gamble. His advice was invest in crypto, bud, and Facebook, bud. And we're like, okay, you like, and everyone asked questions like, okay, what crypto, like blah, blah, blah. You sound like you know what you're talking about. He kept it as general as possible. And then like we started calling him out like, you know, you're a troll, you're fake, blah, blah, blah. He got very offended, didn't like that we called him fake. Sent me his LinkedIn account, sent me his real name, blah, 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 which was like super general. Then he sends us, because he had talked about driving a Ferrari for a long time. So we're like, dude, send us proof that you actually have a Ferrari. So he sends us a picture of a Ferrari parked on a street, but colored with black marker over every other part of the picture except for the car. And he's like, search it up. You can't find that on Google, bud. And we're like, okay. I mean, it's a lot funnier than it sounds.
I think. I'm actually going to disagree. I think SOG is the best troll. James is the one we probably make the most jokes out of because Bud and crypto and Facebook and Ferraris, he's got some good references if you want to make a nice, one liner. But I think SOG is the king troll. He has the longest lasting, He's been in Slack and Discord multiple times, banned and unbanned, and every time we give him a new chance, and he just ends up trolling us all again.
Oh, you know what you should mention? What was the thing earlier? Because when you said who wins, SOG or Kerwood, and then you mentioned something about the so talk about the niece.
Yeah, SOG was out drinking with some buds of his, and he got a little bit too drunk, and he is doing something on a table. I can't remember what he was doing.
One of those Japanese restaurants where you sit like on the floor, and the table is like up to your chest.
Mm-hmm. He for some reason he was on the table though, like he was standing on the table, and one of the legs broke, and he fell off the table, and like was it his ACL? He tore his ACL or something
both
like that.
ACLs.
Yeah, he tore both his ACLs, and he like we don't know if this is true, but this is what he told us, and that he was just like bedridden for months, and like just like he said he got super depressed and like was drinking every day, and then he just like suddenly forgot about it and just stopped talking about it after a while, and we don't really know if it's ever real or not.
In the event that this is true, I apologize, but this does sound kind of funny without any proof that this is real. I think you should skip the next question, but we should come back to it in a few, just so we can get some boxing stuff like out of the way.
I just looked at the next one.
You want to put that in at the right moment.
Mm-hmm. So how would you rate ESPN's 2017? Would you rate the boxing coverage promotion across all the range of their shows? How would you rate it?
Okay, let's start with this. Name one fight on ESPN that you remember this year.
I don't know which ones were ESPN or not.
Okay, so that's a problem. So like you're, what would you classify yourself as? Casual fan, a little more than casual, dating kind of fan? What would you date it, or what would you classify yourself as?
I'd say I'm pretty casual. I watched a fight if I remember it's on.
Okay, well,
I remember a lot more often. Yeah, I do. I have an app for that too. Ever since I joined the Slack, I've watched more because I always get reminded when fights are on, but I'd say I'm pretty casual level still.
Okay, so the casual fan, this is a great example. I mean, you have no excuse. You're in the Slack, and you have a calendar, and you made your own boxing app.
Yeah, it's only on Amazon though, because Google Play is a bunch of... Never mind.
So, you know, you can't remember a single one that... And ESPN's coverage this year was basically Valdez, Cervania, Horn versus Pacquiao, Crawford and Dongo, Lomachenko, Mariaga, Lomachenko, Rigondeaux, Ramirez, Hart, which is... Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that was on the undercard. But this is all to say that these fights were good matchups on paper with guys with impressive records, but ultimately kind of pointless, meaningless matchups. And I know some might say, well, what about Rigondeaux Lomachenko? That was a farce. Like, give me a break, okay? Like, stop. So I think that they did a B. If I was to rate it, give it a grade, I would say it's a B. They did good in that they got their fighters a lot of good press by having their commercials come on during ESPN's popular shows and during sports and all of that stuff. The exposure was good. The fights were decent. There were some entertaining fights. So, like, you can't hate it. Was it any better than they would have done on HBO? I don't think so, but... I mean, the production quality certainly was worse, but... You know, ultimately, it was a good year, and I think 2018 will be a little better.
Okay, so that kind of leads to the next one. Tom also comes back and asks, what does 2018 look like for ESPN Boxing? And will we see the 1-2 pay-per-views that they have discussed? If so, which bouts do you think are most likely? Which fighters beyond Crawford and Loma have a chance to break through?
I've been wondering this a lot. Like, if we take out Canelo, will we have a single pay-per-view next year? And the only option I see on the table, with the exception, and we're going to get into this in a little bit, of Crawford fighting any of the other top welterweights, I don't see it. I don't, like, Mikey moving up to 147 and fighting a big name is a possibility. But you just think about fights that they tried to do Crawford Polsto, which was the number one versus number two at 140, and it bombed. These guys don't draw like that. And I don't see anybody on the ESPN side of things with a fight that can be put on pay-per-view. and the guys who would classically be considered next in line for a pay-per-view, like Oscar Valdez, he's got a tough fight ahead of him. And he's fighting at StubHub. And if you're still fighting at StubHub at this point of your career, that's not a good sign. And then Gilberto Ramirez isn't as good as we think he is. So, like, who knows if he can go through this year without losing? Well, based off of the competition that he's going to be facing in his next fight, he's very likely never to lose another fight. But I don't see any pay-per-views next year.
Okay. Shout out to Tom for actually asking boxing questions, by the way. Dan Raphael recently said that ESPN / Top Rank's plan for Terrence Crawford is to lure Keith Thurman or Errol Spence to their network for a pay-per-view fight with Bud. Do you think these fights will eventually happen on ESPN pay-per-view, or do you think Spence and Thurman will fight on Showtime first?
Where's the money coming from? How much money did ESPN give Top Rank to lure over a big name like Spence or Thurman? I don't think it would be in their best interest. I mean, because he's asking about this year. Am I correct? I believe, I mean, in the context of the other question, he is talking about this year. Mm-hmm. So if it is this year, it's not happening because Thurman has one fight probably this year against Jesse Vargas. And if they're going to do something next, if he doesn't look that great, they would probably give him another fight before Spence, or they would go with Spence later in the year. Maybe that's pay-per-view. But I don't think it sells more than 500,000 pay-per-views. And you saw with Ward and Kovalev that the market isn't there for one versus two when you're featuring guys that don't bring additional stuff to the table. You know, like an Adrian Broner brings stuff to the table, but none of these guys really have that personality. So I don't see it. And I think Spence and Thurman fight each other on Showtime or Showtime pay-per-view. They can try it. I don't like the numbers it's going to potentially do. But I think that's happening before they go fight Crawford on ESPN pay-per-view.
Okay. How do you think 2018 is going to play out for Lucas Matisse?
How do you think it's going to play out?
Fucking, I don't know.
Do you know who Lucas Matisse is?
I know of him. I've never actually seen him fight.
Oh, really?
I know that Postol beat him to, like, kind of like break himself through, and then he just fell apart against Crawford.
Okay, so you basically got the whole story of these two, of both Victor Postol and Lucas Matisse.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Victor Postol's latest fight, and this guy's going to fight Regis Progre, like, it's embarrassing. It really is. Terrence Crawford beat everything out of Victor Postol. But back to this question. What 2018 looks like for Lucas Matisse is, it looks like the end. If he manages to win this fight, which I don't think he will, but if he manages to win this fight, he's going to lose his next fight. It doesn't look pretty for Matisse at this point in his career. Sorry, Matisse fans, and I know we do have a big Matisse fan in the chat, but it's not looking good.
Wait, who's the big Matisse fan?
Ludlow.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Dude, Matisse's his avatar, first of all. Second of all,
He never, like, talks. How am I supposed to know that?
He talks all the time. He says he's awake every morning.
I've never seen him say he's awake.
Okay, maybe I'm confusing him with somebody, but no, Ludlow comes around.
Jorge talks all the time, but Jorge has that one dude, and like a cartoon is this picture.
Yeah. No, Ludlow's the big Matisse fan. He actually came to a meetup that I wasn't at for Golovkin Jacobs.
Ludlow was the number one person on Boxing Profit for a long time too.
Really?
Yeah, he had the best bet. He had like the best single bet for points wins.
Oh, I wonder what he thinks of Matisse's next fight.
I don't know. Moving on, I guess. What will Saddam Ali's reign look like? How many defenses? What opponents? And who will he eventually lose to, etc.?
Okay, Ludlow's responded. He said I had a steak dinner with my fiance. This better be good. And I'm going to say to him, are you a Matisse fan?
It's a good question.
Saddam Ali, his reign is going to be short. I mean, you barely beat Miguel Cotto, first of all, and Cotto was injured.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to go and fight. And also, let's remember, Miguel Cotto is not a legitimate 154-pound fighter. So now Saddam Ali is going to go fight a real 154-pound fighter a guy who could not take the punch of a 147-pound Jesse Vargas and try to defend titles is not happening. If I'm Saddam Ali, I'm waiting to fight somebody moving up in weight. My goal is to get a fight with Kell Brook. Fight Kell Brook. There's a good chance you win, and you can have a defense. You might even fight Amir Khan. Get a defense. But the goal here is to hold on to my title as long as possible, hold it hostage, avoid any real 154-pound fighters. I mean, even Liam Smith, who is not good. He's not good. But I'd avoid him because the size difference it is going to take something to overcome that. So Saddam Ali's title reign lasts as long as he can avoid fighting 154-pound fighters.
Mm-hmm. So quick update for everyone who's wondering. Ludlow is a Matisse fan, and a week ago he got a signed boxing glove from Matisse that he's putting in his office. So I'd say he's pretty up there on the fan level. But he ducked my question about the neck tats, so jury's still out there. I'll try and get that an update later if he responds.
Are you not a fan of neck tattoos?
No, I'm a contrary, big fan of neck tattoos.
Oh, okay. So who pound for pound has better neck tattoos, Lucas Matisse or Gervonta Davis?
Ooh. I might have to do a little Google comparison here. What is his tattoo? Is it like a... it just says blessed on his neck with some angel wings.
Wait a second. Are you serious? So like I've looked at Gervonta Davis and watched him fight like plenty of times. And right. I've never been able to figure out what the hell's on his neck.
I just Googled a picture, and it's him looking straight at the camera. And it's like there's a cloud with like sunbeams shining behind the words that say blessed. And then on top of like on the B and the D of blessed, there's angel wings coming off.
Coming off of the...
off of the letters. Yeah.
Do you think he really is blessed?
No. I mean, I'm going to say no.
So I found a high-res... picture of Gervonta Davis. So just kind of looking at his tattoos, he's got a skull, he's got some aces on his forearm, he's got a clown. No, that's actually the skull. He's got a K and a B on his biceps, and then it says 1973. I wonder what KB stands for. He's got a lion, he's got what looks like elf on his chest.
Yeah.
Is that elf?
It's like a it looks like elf or like a very poorly drawn gorilla or something.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's definitely in the what are we called? Primates? It's in that realm. It could be a human. It could be elf. It could be Chewbacca poorly drawn as well.
That's true.
He's got M heart E.
Yeah. Yeah. M heart's E.
And then he's got the what looks like water and sun rays around his neck.
Mm-hmm. Are those birds above the blessed? Like birds flying off into the horizon?
It's possible.
I haven't found a good picture, of Matisse's neck tats, so I don't know what to say about those.
Did you try Googling Lucas Matisse?
Well, aren't the neck tats like fairly recent?
Oh yeah, they are. They are.
So a lot of the pictures don't have the neck tats, yeah.
Look for... okay,
I'm looking at like the training or like media workout videos and stuff, but he has a shirt on for most of them, so I can't get a good look.
It's a skull.
Oh.
It's a skull on one side. I mean, nobody cares about Matisse's tattoos because he's going to get knocked out probably.
Oh, update. Ludlow does not like it. He says it makes him look like a thug.
Okay, and it's not a good look. What does he have against Guts? Or, what does he have against thugs?
I don't know. Maybe even Bayer can talk about it. They don't like tattoos that are for the sole purpose of intimidating your opponents.
Well, okay. Who's intimidated by a neck tattoo?
I don't know. I'm not.
Well, let's go on.
Yeah. So, what is your take on the current state of PBC/Heyman boxing? How do you interpret their relative lack of signings of 2016 Olympians?
I think it kind of makes sense regarding the Olympians because I don't know, because maybe they realize that they don't want to do the legwork to bring up these guys from the start. It could also be that the Olympians were looking for something a little more stable, and what's more stable as a young fighter coming up is a promotional contract versus a like fight by fight sort of, you don't know where you're going to get your next payday from and where you're going to fight. because you're just at the whim of whatever card happens to be coming on. So I think for the Olympians, it probably made more sense to go the more traditional route with more stability. And my current take on what PBC and Heyman Boxing is at right now is, I don't know. It seems like PBC is just kind of a wrapper, like a theme of boxing shows, but there's nothing consistent apart from the FS1 shows that we occasionally get that is basically letting me know PBC exists. So, like, at this point, I don't know what to think. There's no branded PBC TV series in the traditional sense. I get that these shows are brought to you by Premier Boxing Champions, and Premier Boxing Champions is the entity bringing these fights or these fighters together in the ring. But I don't really know what to think of it at this point. Like, it's not gone and in any direction that I predicted.
Hold on. What's up? No, they left. All right. Bye.
Is your mom?
No, that was AJ.
What do you want?
Some PDs. He's asking if I had
more. Fans are not going to like you.
He wanted some more Trent. I told him I was out. Next question. Lara and her are supposedly set for April. We've seen as a follow-up, how do you rank the 2016 Olympians who have turned pro? Have you been impressed by any so far?
No, I'm not impressed by any of them. And it's wait and see. None of them have really come out the gate strong with decent opposition. So I'm not impressed with any of them so far.
What other ones are there other than like Conlon and Stevenson? Those are the only two I can think of.
Robson Kuncisal, Fazladin Gabnazarov, Yuliesinov Donyar. Let's not do this. I can't remember the names. Like there's a bunch of Uzbeks and Kazakhstan people that turned pro, and like I'm just not gonna like Muhammad Rabi, I can remember, but like I'm not. Nobody's jumped off the page. Joe Joyce, dudes like that, Tony Yoka. These guys haven't jumped off the page at this point. I think Yoka's might be the furthest along too, which is frightening.
Okay. Lara and Herd are supposedly set for April. We've seen Oscar/Golden Boy sacrifice a new champion to a big dog before, such as GGG versus Lemieux. What are the chances Charlo Saddam Ali gets made as well?
Oh my god. Who asked this joke of a question? It's
unnamed.
Zero chance this happens. Ooh. Zero.
You're a fool. Whoever asked this.
There's no, like, first of all, Oscar could be like, yeah, Saddam, we're going to give you this fight. Jermell Charlo, you can beat him. Saddam Ali would probably be like, nah, man, I'm good. I'm going to retire. Oh, this next question is great.
Does Jeff the Hornet realistically remain a champion to the end of 18 or 2018? How many defenses does the Hornet have left in him, or has he stung for the last time?
So Jeff Horn has stung for the last time. His next fight, Terrence Crawford, will be the end of his run at welterweight.
No, it'll be the end of Terrence Crawford's run in life. We're calling it now. Yeah. Crawford may die in the ring.
Not cool. Not cool.
He's allergic to bee stings. I guarantee it.
Can't co-sign that one.
Okay. Next question. Do you believe Caleb Truex is a one-hit wonder, or does he have more defenses in him? Who does he fight next? Does he rematch to Gale, or does he get a new opponent? The last two were from Ryan Guido.
I do think Caleb is a one-hit wonder. I think he caught DeGale at the perfect time. And a lot of boxing for some guys is all about timing. And I think Truex got DeGale after DeGale was pretty flat in two straight performances. So it made sense that he was doomed at some point. And Caleb Truex came in with the perfect style to beat a guy who was on the down, on the decline as DeGale was. And so if I'm Truex, I feel confident in fighting DeGale again. It's a big money fight. in the UK. I think you can get people to come out and see it. They'll probably broadcast it on Showtime. There's no reason not to take that fight. It's an easy defense as well if you think you can beat him, and I think he can. So I think that's a really smart move. Truex does deserve, since he did win the title, he does deserve an easy easy defense. So you take the DeGale rematch, you beat him, come back to America, get a pretty easy defense, and now you got two title defenses, two nice paydays, and now you're heading into a fight with one of the other big names at 168. I mean, this isn't rocket science. Go fight Benavidez. I mean, Truex might beat Benavidez as well. And you might have two, three defenses. Like Truex has stumbled onto it. Now, is he a one? When I say he's a one-hit wonder, I mean, like, he's not going to go and destroy everybody in the division now. That's unlikely to happen. He could lose in a rematch to DeGale. But I think with a little luck, momentum's on his side, I think he could, you know, get a few defenses out of this.
Okay. going back to some off-topic questions here. This was a hot topic in the Slack a little while ago, and I'm not going to drop any names to protect their privacy, but the question is it okay to have a wank at work? And I feel that's pretty much always a no, and that's weird, and they should stop, but I'm interested in your take.
Okay, so I got to ask you, like, when was the last time you did it?
At work? Never.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm never at work.
You asked this question, though.
No, I didn't. Slander.
Okay, so let's tell the story of why this is a question. So somebody, it was like, I think it was like a Saturday morning or something in the chat. At least morning for me, for us. We're on the West Coast. And I just look and see this question about like, hey, is it okay to have a wink at work? And I was like, whoa, this is too early for this. And like the person who's asking, it's like, okay, this guy is very open about his life and possibly needs an intervention. Because the reason he's asking this is, like, this is not a curiosity thing. Like, you know, is Golovkin one of the all-time great middleweights at this point in his career? It's like, no, I need some advice. And so we inquired a little bit, did some investigative work. And he's, you know, someone asked, like, well, how are you asking if that's okay? Like, do you do that? And he's like, yeah, every so often. Believe that's what he said. He said, like,
yeah, he said he only does it when work's slow. Yeah. He said, he's like, it's okay though. I use Purell afterwards.
So he Purells his hands. So here's what we know. When work is slow, and if you're going to Purell your hands afterwards, is it okay to have a wank at work?
I'm still on a no.
It depends on what the job is, don't you think? Like, if you're working with food, probably not the best idea.
Or like, people.
If you work in any field where you had to shake hands a lot, or make maybe eye contact with people.
Touch people's face, I don't know.
So, okay, facialist is like aesthetician is what they're called. That's probably a no. What if you're like a regular, like you work in the mailroom?
I mean, I still think it's weird. I'm not probably going to say yes to any situation unless
that was my next question. What situation is this? Is there going to be a yes other than like porn star?
Oh, well, you took it out of my mouth. I was going to say porn star. Fluffer, I guess.
But that's not the same thing, because unless you're practicing for your move on other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
What about if you're an underwear model? And you need to, you know, enhance things a bit.
That's when you just put a sock in there like the White Rhino does. See how I brought it back to boxing? You catch that?
Yeah, that's very good. I really want to go more into detail about our friend who knows how to pass time at work, but I'm not. But this guy's got a real interesting life.
Okay, so next question involves you. It's a little scandalous. It's asking if you cheat in Evil Apples, because we already know you're paying to win, but we're wondering if you're cheating as well.
Fake news, first of all. Okay, so Evil Apples is like Cards Against Humanity except on the phone, and we play, like, you know, I think the most we've had in a game is like 10. It took forever. But we play Evil Apples like pretty frequently, and like, my record is pretty ungodly, don't you think?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I won like, what, 11, 12 games in a row.
I only played one game, and I almost beat you, and then someone, we were tied 6-6, and the last question, they gave it to you.
Like,
and then I quit after that.
Yeah, because you're a sore loser.
Well, I should have won.
Okay, well, I am pretty good at the game, I must say. Like, you win 11 games in a row. I have probably the best record. I'm like 22-5. Leo's 0-23 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rollins is 1-50 or something.
Did he win one?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
But I'm trying to remember the records. But basically, like, I don't pay to win. Like, when you win games, they give you coins. So I use my coins on the wild cards when I need to get a win. So, yeah. Like, if you want to have the coins so you can do wild cards, either pay the money, and what you're accusing me of doing that I'm not doing, or win more games. Be funnier than me.
Okay, that's pretty easy. I think everyone would agree I'm funnier than you.
I think you're hilarious, okay? But you just don't bring it.
Well, I just made my account, and the default cards are pretty lame. Like, it's, you can win on them, but
so
it's not.
Many times with default cards. Come on.
I don't know. I get some weird default cards. But if you wild card, you make like a boxing reference, since it's like everyone from the boxing Slack, they'll pretty much always vote for it. Or you can make a Roy reference.
It's actually not true anymore. So White Ranger is specifically not giving people wins who use wild cards and like make the obvious joke, even if it's funny.
I see. Just because the wild card, he like votes for default cards only.
It seems like it, but then I know how to phrase it so it sounds like a default card. I mean, without mentioning Roy Jones or something, or Anthony Joshua or Melandium or any of the normal funny topics.
Okay.
Mentioning a troll is usually an automatic win, by the way.
Yeah, I've gotten a couple off SOG's name in the one game I played. I think I had like 3 of my cards that got picked were because of SOG.
We need to start mentioning Robbie's occupation. I think that would be an automatic win.
Yeah.
Let's move on. There's like 40 more questions. No, 30 more questions.
Okay, so maybe this is a quick one. I don't know. Who would win in a boxing fight between Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump?
Kim Jong-un?
Did I say it wrong or something?
Well, just think about this, okay? Just think about this. We had... When you get like a really old fighter in the ring, like Bernard Hopkins, mm-hmm. and put him in with a young hungry lion like Joe Smith Jr., the young guy usually wins. Donald Trump's like ancient. Have you seen the way his neck moves?
No, not really.
Okay, well, next time you're by a TV, turn it on. Kim Jong-un is like a young guy. Like, he might be your age.
You think he's 24?
I don't know.
Well, is there a number on that? I don't know.
Does he even have a Wikipedia page that's accurate?
He says he's 34. Donald Trump's 71. So he's literally half Donald Trump's age.
Yeah, I think Kim Jong-un, like, seriously, if Kim Jong-un kicked him in the leg, it's probably breaking.
Mm-hmm.
What a stupid... Walker, why are you asking that question?
Now that... How do you say it? Nalia?
I'm going to let you sound it
anyway.
Out.
Now that anyway is...
You know, if you watch more anime, you'd probably be able to say that.
Shut up. There's an anime question down here, and I can't wait to call over. Made it stupid. Now that anyway is confirmed he might move up, do you believe that he'll be a force at 118, and do you believe his power will carry over?
I don't know. That's from E. Yeah, E asks a lot of questions and doesn't finish their name, so I'm going to assume it's 11. I think... that Inoue is going to lose some of his power at 118. Well, actually, this is a tough one because he's so young and still growing. He's probably done growing, but he's still forming his man bones and stuff. That it's likely that he actually will carry his power. But traditionally, you don't carry your power when you move up in weight. So I'm not quite sure. And 118 is a division that's legit. Like, Inoue, like 115 was basically dead when Inoue got there. And he just took over. And then it's like, well, he's the king because he beat the only guy with a name here. And 118 is not like that. There's a slew of guys that are legitimately good. And Inoue is going to have to earn his way in this division. And this is going to be the real test. If Inoue is legit, we'll know when he beats the guys in this division.
Okay. Next question also from E. Does Inoue beat... Is it Tete? Tete?
What do you think?
I don't know. Does he beat Tete and Burnett?
Tete. Or...
Tite.
Titi.
Well, I mean.
Tete.
Or you just like tet.
like we're a nom.
Is that what the I don't know
what the Tet Offensive is?
No.
What do you do all day?
Not much. And am I supposed to be reading about the Tet Offensive?
Like, have you ever seen like a movie about Vietnam?
I've watched like the first three seasons of MASH. Is that good enough?
No. You've never seen Full Metal Jacket?
No.
Apocalypse Now?
Nope.
The Deer Hunter?
I've seen like half of Good Morning Vietnam.
Not quite the same.
Okay.
I recommend those movies. You know, it's, whenever you want to, you know, avert your attention from watching anime all day.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. That has never happened. Let's clear the air. I don't watch anime. I don't like anime, and I don't approve of anime.
What about if you had a girlfriend that liked anime?
See, that wouldn't happen. I'd cut the brakes off real quick there. First question is like, hey, what's your name? Do you like anime? That's my intro.
Wait, what? Say that again?
when I meet a girl, first or second question I ask her is always if she likes anime. And if she says yes, then I just walk away. Break the wrist, walk away.
Where does a question about Roy rank?
That's usually third or fourth.
Is it, can you handle Roy, or are you a fan of Roy?
I usually lead in with, have you heard of Roy? Like, if she knows about Roy, and then if she hasn't, then I just show her the picture, you know? And if she has, then I assume she's already seen it, and then I just ask if she likes it.
Yeah, I can just imagine you there sniffling, breathing through your mouth, asking, do you like it?
You never
you ever seen Hey Arnold?
Yeah.
You know the kid that is always like stalking Helga with the breathing? Mm-hmm. Is that you? Did they base that character off of you?
No, I'm more like Helga, and I have a picture of a sculpture of Roy in my closet. that's more my style.
Did you sculpt it out of like an oversized potato?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Oversized potato and lunch meat. are you gonna answer this question?
Does he beat Tete and Burnett? I think they're both really tough fights. I would say that Inoue would be a favorite over Tete, and Burnett would be an even line. And I think Inoue could beat both of them.
Okay. Another one from E. Depending on who wins Yamanaka Neri 2, how do you think Inoue deals with the winner?
Okay, so let's not act like this is a question, okay? This is like, you know, people don't want to commit to something. Like, well, maybe if you're not doing something, we could go have lunch, right? It's like, no. You want to go out to lunch with me? You're going out to lunch with me one of these days. This is that version of this question. Depending on who wins Yamanaka Neri 2. No. We all know who's winning this fight, okay? Neri tested positive for a reason, okay? Because he's not losing fights. So he's going to beat Yamanaka. Yamanaka is like 45 years old, fighting at 118 pounds. It's not happening. Yamanaka's losing this fight. Neri is going... Now, the question is, how do you think Neri deals with Neri? Oh, wait, no.
Wait, what?
Check it if you're listening. How do you think Inoue deals with Neri? I think that's a really good fight. They have similar kind of aggressive styles. I think Inoue could beat Neri and get revenge for Yamanaka.
So to settle the argument, the common argument between White Ranger Rollins and Gleb, do you think Neri is a drug cheat or not?
Yeah.
Definitive answer, because they argue about this all day.
I don't know.
I'm going to see if I can start it right now.
Gleb's asleep.
He'll wake up for this.
I think Neri was definitely dirty. Okay? Mm-hmm. But was it intentional, like malicious use of clenbuterol? No, I think there were trace amounts of the clenbuterol in Neri's system to warrant a positive test. But I don't think it was enough to say that Neri is was a roided up beast like, you know, prime Brock Lesnar or something. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay. So, do you see any flyweight, light flyweight fighters moving up as well to make good fights this year? Examples, Tanaka Quadras or Higa Rungvisai Estrada?
Higa's going to move up. I know that's going to happen. Tanaka does not need to move up because there's no power. Nobody cares about this division, by the way. Like, I'm mentioning fighters that nobody really cares about. Like, oh, yeah, I would really like you to go on a Donnie Nietes segment for 10 minutes. No, that's not what people want. Should Kazuto Ioka come out of retirement and fight? No. Stop me. I'll stop there. Higa's the guy who, if there's going to be any interest whatsoever, it would be in Higa because of his style, super aggressive style, comes to fight. And I can see him moving up, possibly, you know, fighting Quadras if Quadras wins his next fight. There's definitely, I think, some interest there. But otherwise, I don't see anybody from light flyweight moving up, that's for sure.
Okay. We're getting close to the end of the questions about the midgets. where is anyway's weight limit to where he'll face the most adversity in terms of opposition?
147.
Wow. Okay.
No, I think 118 is going to be it, because while he may be he may be big enough for the division, I think the skill level there is pretty high at the moment. 122 is kind of an open division. I think in a way would kind of struggle with Vargas, because Vargas is just like makes fights miserable. But on the whole, I think it's 118.
Okay. Who do you believe will be the next king of flyweights if Inoue does permanently leave the weight?
So first of all, Inoue is not a flyweight. So if the question is who do you think will be the next king of the super flyweight division, that would be Jerwin Ancajas. Now, if you're talking about flyweight, and Inoue never fought at flyweight, so I'm going to assume that you didn't mean to ask that question, so we can move on.
Okay. What weight would have a great World Boxing Super Series tournament? I think this has been on every episode so far.
I think that like it's now being intentionally asked. I'm going to say 118. Especially with Inoue there, that's a juicy division for a World Boxing Super Series where nobody can hide from anybody. That's a great division now to do World Boxing Super Series.
Okay. I think this is the anime question. Hey, yo, blues. Do you think Ippo Makunanuchi beats Naoya Inoue at a catchweight of 121? I'm pretty sure this is an anime question, and I'm pretty sure I don't like whoever asked it.
Don't at me with this stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. What's the next question that I should care about? What round does Billy Joe Saunders knock out Glovkin, Jacobs, Canelo, and the Charlos? I'll wait. I don't know if you're muted or not. But
no, I'm not. I'm just like, who asked this question?
I will follow up.
What round do Canelo and Golovkin double KO each other? 40.
Oh, I skipped that one.
And then the next one, what round does Billy Joe Saunders knock out Golovkin, Jacobs, Canelo, and the other Charlos? Like, the round in his dreams, because he's not knocking. Like, do you get, like, seriously, okay, person listening, oh, the Roy bot is back working. the knockouts don't happen that frequently. Okay? A knockout. If you mean a stoppage, that's a little more frequent. But like now you're saying Billy Joe Saunders is like really Billy Joe Saunders is not knocking out anybody. Anybody. He's not going to knock out Saddam Ali. He's not knocking out Golovkin, he's not knocking out Jacobs, Canelo or the Charlos. It's just not happening.
All right. I was going to ask if you think he can knock out both Charlos with a double fist punch at the same time, but I guess I won't ask that now.
Maybe with a donkey punch.
Who wins in a fight, Chepo or Abel Sanchez?
No more hypotheticals.
Why is Rungvisai not number one pound for pound? Politics, corruption, censorship of the gods of Asia? This reporter believes it's all three. What do you think?
Is this reporter believes it's all three like a meme?
I guess so. I don't know. Like something in a tabloid.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't it kind of sound like this is like an intentionally loaded question?
Mm-hmm.
I Rungvisai is not pound for pound number one because he arguably lost the first Gonzalez fight. How's that?
Yeah. Are we going to see the end of Golovkin in the rematch?
I think so. I think Canelo is going to beat him.
Cool. That was an easy answer. Oh, back to non-boxing topics. Who is winning Royal Rumble 2018? John Cena. Oh, someone already answered this one. And they said John Cena, then he'll take AJ's belt because AJ has no style and is pathetic, which is wrong.
Okay, well, let me tell you this. I can say with absolutely no doubt that I am 100% sure that Dumb Ziggler will win the Royal Rumble and will go to WrestleMania to beat AJ Styles and become the World Heavyweight Champion. There's literally no doubt in my mind. Dolph Ziggler is without a doubt the best worker in the business today. And I can say with everything in my heart that there is no individual athlete that the WWE could lose that would be more detrimental than losing Dolph Ziggler. Because if he goes to New Japan Pro Wrestling, I'm sorry, but he's going to become the champion. I really hope someone will screenshot this post and make a reminder that I'm predicting this.
I feel like you asked that question just so you could respond with that.
No, I did it, but as soon as, because when you did the Rungvisai question, I saw AJ and I looked at it and I was like, oh, I'm going to read it.
That was perfect. So there you have it. Dumb Ziggler is going to win.
Okay, well, I think we should give some background. So basically, I was on the R squared circle sub, and then I never browse anything by new. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to click new, see what kind of stuff pops up here. And the very first thing I see is this post. And it's just like this thing. And I just thought it was entirely ridiculous. So then I posted it, and then T-Money was like, that's copy pasta for sure. So I saved it, and now we all say it to each other.
I think it was actually, I don't want to steal any credit. It was White Ranger Rollins who copy pasted it first.
Oh, but didn't you say it was copy pasta?
I said it sounds like copy pasta.
Oh,
well, I don't know.
It was born. Well, I would say that we three-weighed it.
Yeah, and then now every once in a while you just pick a new name and replace Dolph Ziggler's name in there, and you can just fit it in any situation you want. I think I did one with Jarrett Hurd. Yeah, it's pretty flexible. We got some Piotr questions now. Amongst the current crop of 154-pounders, who do you see as the kingpin by January 2019? Who's going to have their breakout year in 2018, and who's going to fall from grace?
This is following the previous cupcake of a question. I think so. For Jermell, I actually think his time is pretty limited at 154. I think if there's going to be a kingpin by January 2019. It's dependent. My answer is dependent on one thing not happening, and that is Jermell Charlo not fighting Arislandi Lara. Because I think if Lara can somehow get out of this year without fighting Charlo, he's still going to be the guy, because he's like, I don't see her beating him. And amongst the guys on the rise, there's nobody impressive. So, like, what, Brian Castano is going to? No, it's not. That's not happening. So I think, actually, I should take that back. I do see Brian Castano having a breakout year this... Wow. I do see Brian Castano having a breakout year this year. And, really coming into his own. If you've never seen him fight, he's a decent fighter. Beat Michelle Soro to get an interim title. He's not bad, Brian Castano. And so... I think if anybody's going to fall from grace this year, it's Jarrett Hurd, only because he's the one that's going to end up fighting Arislandi Lara.
Okay. Another Piotr question. What more does Keith Thurman have to do in order to prove his elite level to the hardcore fans? Is he actually underrated at this time, or is his success an artifact of the vacuum of the top level welterweight that has granted him the top spot by default?
Can you read these in Piotr's voice, or at least when you read them, do you hear them in his voice?
I want to mimic his voice, but I can't. It's weird.
Well, first
I can't
of all,
mimic it.
You're going to need to put your face right on the microphone.
And just come in like screaming about it, and then maybe take a few shots at Valencian Bar while I'm at it.
Yeah. The first one I didn't read it or didn't hear it in his voice, but then the second one I was like, wow, this is actually kind of like how he talks. So he emphasizes like particular words too. Like, yeah. I don't know why I emphasized them when I was reading them. But anyway, what more does Keith Thurman need to do? Look, I have no clue. Maybe fight two or three times in a year and win basically each fight with like at least one or two stoppages and be like fairly impressive. That's what he has to do, because I can't see any other thing. Like, Thurman should be a lot of people's favorite fighters. I mean, Thurman comes to fight. He does not come to avoid getting knocked out. You see guys who come into the ring and they're just trying not to lose. That's not Thurman. He's willing to get knocked out if it's going to give him a chance to prove he's got one-time power, which doesn't really have one-time power. But as long as he keeps thinking that he has it and wants to prove it, that's fine by me. So I don't really know what Thurman has to do other than fight more frequently. I mean, I was sort of yelling at Tweed on Friday night that he should like Thurman more, because Thurman, like, he is Thurman. Like, I bet they would get along perfectly together. But Tweed is a hater because Thurman doesn't fight. Like, he only fought one time that last year. And I'm like, you know, Thurman injured his elbow. Like, what is he supposed to do? Fight with one arm? He's like, yeah, he should still fight more. I'm like, this is a stupid argument. So is he underrated? I don't think he's underrated. I think he's properly rated. He's considered one of the two best welterweights in the world on the PBC side, which is accurate. And two or three with Terrence Crawford in the mix. Although Crawford would acknowledge that Thurman's the number one guy. But as far as skill goes, he's one of the top three at welterweight at this moment in time. And is his success an artifact of the vacuum at the top level welterweight that has granted him the top spot by default? No. He's beating guys that are pretty good. So I don't think that's the case.
Okay, next question has been a hot topic in the Discord lately. If a boxer has tattoos, do you think it makes him a thug?
So Miguel Cotto's a thug?
According to, I still can't pronounce his name, Byer.
I call him Byer.
Byer. So he's a,
like Will Byers?
I don't know. He's a guy in the Slack, and he was talking about how
that's two Stranger Things references I made, and ignored them both times.
Yeah.
Why?
That's right. Because I don't like the show as much as you.
Dude.
Anyways. So he said that he thinks that boxers get a lot of tattoos to try and strike fear into the hearts of their opponents, and it's an intimidation technique. And everyone has been making fun of him and telling him he's wrong.
Is that why Manny Pacquiao is so scary?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Anthony Joshua is a pretty scary guy. Does he have any tattoos?
Yes. Have you seen that horrifying tattoo on the back of his neck? It's like a sun or something.
No, I haven't. But it's like,
strikes fear into my heart.
I thought you were, well, okay, I should stop myself, but I thought only girls got tattoos in the back of their neck. Oh, he does have a tattoo.
He has the
continent. I think it's Africa on his shoulder.
Yeah, probably Mugabe or something.
Where the superior people come from?
Yeah, only the superiors.
Okay, yeah, to say that if a boxer has tattoos, does that make them a thug? Like, people get, tons of people have tattoos. That doesn't make them, like, that's just ignorant.
Yeah, it's a dumb thought. Where was I? What do you think is the biggest issue concerning PBC, and what do they need to do to start making profits?
Okay, so if I answer this question, I should probably charge them, because this is bordering on, like, consulting work.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest issue concerning PBC is that they don't have a TV deal. And in general, there's no indicator of consistent ratings across boxing, in boxing, in amongst any boxing show. And I think networks are not down with bringing in a show that's going to do wildly inconsistent numbers. And the numbers are completely dependent on who's fighting. They want consistency. I mean, Fox, so the UFC, right? Let's talk about UFC for a little bit. Like, T-Money, you know about UFC. But I think PBC is, UFC is what PBC kind of aspired to be like. And they took a look, I think, at the UFC and saw a model similar to that that they could use in boxing. Now, the UFC sold for... Do you remember how much they sold for?
No.
Okay, so the UFC sold for about $4 billion. Okay, $4 billion to WMEIMG. Now, a company that's rated at $4 billion, you would think, okay, well, why did it sell for $4 billion? Part of it was because the UFC has their TV deal expiring with Fox very soon. And WMEIMG, when they saw it, it was like in the near future. So they wanted to get their hands and some their hands in the pockets of Fox when they renegotiated that TV deal. And what they saw is like, wow, we could get like a $1 billion deal, or we could make a ton of money off of this deal, off of this new negotiation with Fox. But the reality is that Fox doesn't want the UFC. The UFC doubled down. They're like, no, we want you to pay us, you know, $800 million or whatever. And Fox is like, nah, no thanks. And I think the UFC wants to double what they were getting paid previously. I think it was like somewhere $400 or $500 million. I think it was $500 million or something like that. I don't know, but it was a lot of money. And the news is coming out today that the UFC, Fox is actually offered, and they're prepared to bid up to $400 million on the WWE. With WWE moving to Fox, FS1, and their whatever other networks that they have. And the UFC, it's rumored that the offer the UFC got from Fox was way lower than that $400 number. And the there's no guarantee that the Fox is going to offer the $400 million in total to the WWE for their TV deal or their TV rights. Now, that's a long way to say the UFC's in trouble, because if they don't get that TV deal and nobody else is prepared to offer them that much money, I think WMEIMG is going to be very upset with the people who sold the UFC to them, because I think they'll feel like they've been conned into buying a product that wasn't worth what they were told it was worth. So that was a long way to answer the question of what do you think the biggest issue concerning PBC is. It's that they don't have a TV deal. That's it right there. There's no TV deal. And then the other thing is that it's not consistent. There's no consistency in like the product that you can consume. So whether it's the FS1 toe-to-toe Tuesdays, that's not consistent. It's not on every week. So people can't build a routine. And then as far as main events, there's the combination of we don't have a fight every Saturday night to watch. And the guys we like, we can only see them two times at the most a year, but very likely it's only one time. So, you know, how you get popularity, how you get people to care is you got to see them more often. And if people had access to the fighters more often to see them, to hear them, they would probably like them more. And if you got people caring about fighters, well, then you have a way to make profit, because these guys are worth something and people will go to the fights and watch the shows, and networks would be willing to dish out the cash so that they can watch your product. But that's not happening. So until they can find some way to create stars, then that's the first step I'm going to take in making profit. And it's kind of one of those things where like, but what if we just want to make profit? We can't do that by making stars, because they're not aligned, because sometimes you need to showcase guys that don't make money at, well, then you have to operate at a loss. But PBC kind of went in the other direction, where they put all the best guys on and, you know, in varying degrees of difficulty with the fights. And it didn't work out so well, because they didn't build enough young guys. They built some, the Charlos, sure, Spence, but it's not enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
and if you would like the rest of this, you have to, you know, I can, it's $19.99 for a consultation.
That's the demo.
Yeah, it's $19.99 for a consultation at the least. So I'll charge PBC that $19.99, and then my hourly rate is $3.25.
That's true. I get the rest of it.
Well, true. You're my manager. But also, Graham charges a lot more at his company. They like charge $1,000 an hour for their consultation.
Yeah, see, well, we have better advice and we charge less, so they should probably come to us first.
That's what I'm talking about.
So this is some more advice from you. We're also going to be charging this. We'll give them a little sneak preview, though. What can be done to increase the popularity of boxing in countries where it's not as popular? Are the current promoters doing a good job in that regard, or do they need to improve? And what's the biggest untapped market for boxing, in your opinion?
So the last part of the question. Well, here's the thing, okay? Boxing popularity is cyclical. And we have these, like, 1 or 2 years, maybe 3 or 4, where a country... So let's just go back. Actually, I literally had this conversation last night. And it's Manny Pacquiao and how important it, like, ethnicity and national pride plays a huge role in boxing. And specifically, an example of this is Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao generated enough interest that he captured the attention of all the Filipinos across the world. And so you had a built-in guaranteed buy rate on his pay-per-views from that market. Then you add in the regular boxing fans. Then you add in people who heard about him, and he was able to do really big numbers. Now, a rising tide raises all ships, or whatever that phrase is. So when you have a guy like Manny Pacquiao of a particular ethnicity that is at the top, the networks see the nationality and the ethnicity as like, if we offer them a similar product, they might come and want to see that. And in turn, we're going to build interest in these guys, and we'll have our own Manny Pacquiao. So when Manny Pacquiao was running through divisions, we saw Nonito Donaire become a superstar in a boxing sense. Didn't end well, but we had a lot of Filipino fighters. I mean, even Mercedo Gesta saw some shine from this. And Mercedo Gesta we'll see in a couple of weeks fighting Jorge Linares. But, I mean, this was years ago. So that's part of it, is like when you have a guy who's already established, it brings a lot of attention. With the Cubans, you had Gamboa, who was brilliant, and then all of a sudden we see all these Cubans on TV, and we're unfortunately still seeing them on TV, Guillermo Rigondeaux. And it's like, when did we get this notion that they were all good just because one was good? And then Kazakhstan, and then Russia and Ukraine, they've had their runs lately. And I think the next one we're going to see is Uzbekistan. And they were very good at the Olympics. And they're a country where their amateur style is similar to the way Golovkin fights, if not a little more aggressive. I mean, I think it's a more refined version of what Golovkin does in a couple of ways. And you're going to see, like, these guys are about to make their rise. And there's one that's in the top 10, I think, right now at welterweight. A guy on Showbox fought from Uzbekistan. These guys are supremely talented, and that's the next market. Well, the question is, with Golovkin, can they connect? Because there's not a big enough Uzbekistani population around the world to generate interest in pay-per-views and stuff, as well as in America. So that's not, I don't know that it's going to happen the way it did with Manny Pacquiao, but that remains to be seen. So how do you increase popularity in these countries? Well, it starts with the amateur programs, and it starts with an Olympian, because the whole nation, you don't have to be a boxing fan to get behind an Olympian, a young fighter who captures the spirit of the country. That's your access. If you build a good amateur program where somebody can win a gold medal for the world to see on the biggest platform that some boxers could ever be on, that's step one, to inspire the youth to build a foundation and to bring attention. And it's basically, it's a process that takes many years. But if you can do it, that's the way to do it. And that's what we've seen with a lot of these countries. And I'm sure Uzbekistan was that way, where that's how they came up. And so it started with the amateur program, and their amateur program is very good. And we're going to see some very good pros come along in the next couple of years. So that's what I would do if I was looking to build popularity in a country. And are the current promoters doing a good job in that regard? They're doing okay. I think they know this, but there's no science to this. There's no prediction or way to predict who is going to be legitimately good and who's not. They have to take chances, and that's what slows it down.
Okay. Is open scoring a good idea? Will it increase transparency and accountability of judges? Will it have a positive or negative effect on the entertainment value of a fight?
What do you think? Because you have a different perspective of watching boxing than I do, given how much you watch and how little I watch.
Wait, what? You saying I watch more than you?
No. Yes, I did say that, but it's a joke. But what do you think?
Well, I guess I don't really like it. I don't know. You can kind of see how it's going if you watch it. If there's open scoring, that's like when you can see the official judge rounds every round, like their scores after every round, right?
Or like every three rounds or something.
I don't know. It could sway. I mean, I guess it might. It might make it seem like there's a lot better scores because the people who don't pay attention as much, they'll see like, oh, the officials have been giving a lot of rounds to this guy. So like they'll start to look for what he does better. Maybe. I don't know. Kind of like where if they didn't see the official judges score, they could like, they'd like make their own. I'm losing my train of thought here.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm choking right now. So if they don't have like the official judges' scores after being shown to them every time, they have to make their own judgment on who wins, you know, so they'll be like trusting themselves more. And at the end result, they'll have their final score, and then it'll be probably a lot different from what the judges' final score is. But if they see the official scores, like every one round, two rounds, or three rounds, they'll kind of be like following what the judge thinks more, because they'll probably trust the judge more than they trust themselves for like a casual perspective, not like someone who follows boxing as much as you do. So I feel like it might not have, it'll seem like it has a positive effect. Like people will think the scores are better, but they might not actually be that much different.
Okay, so boxing is the one sport where like you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And that's like saying like, oh, if the NBA was played without keeping score, it'd be more interesting. Or baseball. Well, actually, baseball, you can kind of count. But in the NBA, you know, they score so much. It's like saying, if I didn't know the score, it would be more interesting. But isn't that what makes it interesting? Is that you know what's at stake here. And now, generally, you in boxing, you can kind of see. You can kind of tell, like, oh, yeah, he's getting beat up. Like, he's way behind. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it makes that big of a difference, in the exception of really close fights. And here's the thing. I think it might actually be good. Like, imagine they announce the scores after three rounds and the judges all have it, like, you know, the way the judges in the Victor Postol had the fight. And the crowd just boos when the scores are announced. Like, that could be a wake-up call to the judges that, hey, maybe what you're seeing is not what everyone else is seeing. And it's possible that, you know, with the exception of like hometown fighter, like obviously they're going to boo if he's behind. But like, I think it might help in like judges like getting corrected in the moment, because what else are you going to do to keep these judges straight? If they start off the fight judging incorrectly, no matter how much training that they do, they're going to end up wrong at the end of the day. So I think in that situation, I can see it really working, but I don't think it makes that big of a difference whether we know the scores or not. I don't see fights playing out too differently. I don't see there being much difference. And the only thing that I think people will say is they don't want to see anything change, because boxing fans hate change for the sake of change. They just hate it.
I don't know. How would, like, so the people boo when the scores are revealed at the end if it's a bad score anyways, like all at once they'll boo. But, like, are you saying, like, if they see, like, the first three rounds, they show the scores and everyone boos, will that, you think that judge will, like, kind of start looking for the other opponent, the other person who they're scoring against? They'll kind of start favoring them more if the crowd boos them? Is that what you're saying?
Not favoring, because I don't want to get into that round. But more like they might be a little more observant of, like, I wonder why they're booing, and kind of look, like, it could have them start to look for different things if they get caught in maybe focusing on one thing too much.
Okay. Cause like that is kind of like the same. If they listen to the crowd boo, they can, it's kind of like sometimes what people think now is like when a hometown favorite like lands like one punch and the crowd goes absolutely wild, you know. Some people have said that the crowd cheering for one fighter more than the other has an effect on the judges' scores.
I don't see that too often. I think judges are actually pretty responsible when it comes to crowd noise and hometown fighters. I think they're just poor judges.
Okay. Well, I feel like that's kind of like the same thing with the booing then. If they're responsible with the crowd noises and cheering, then they'll be responsible with the booing too and keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah, but no, I don't think so. That's not okay. How it works.
Okay. Next question. 42. What weight class is going to become the next center point for a large number of fighters? Weight classes like welterweight and heavyweight seem to attract fighters to them. Who would be more suited in other weight classes? And is there another weight class that you can see growing into a point where many elite fighters will converge within the next couple of years?
This is like three questions.
Yeah.
So the first question is pretty easy. Welterweight is just, that's just the home of the big fights. Nobody is going to like there's that. Well, middleweight, maybe wherever Canelo is, because he's the biggest draw in boxing. But I think welterweight is still going to be the glamour division, despite Canelo not fighting there. And then the other question is this a question?
Which one?
No, is there a weight? Is there another part, you can see growing into? No. I think welterweight and middleweight are going to stay the top divisions. I don't think any other division is going to come close to it. Like, if you're close to welterweight, you just go to welterweight. And if you're close to middleweight, you go to middleweight. And if not, you're irrelevant.
Does Billy Joe Saunders stand a chance against Golovkin or Canelo?
Yeah, he does. Not a good chance, but he stands a chance. If he were to beat them, it would be a very boring fight. Like, he has to keep it boring. That's the only way he can win. So he can. He does have a chance, but it's not a good one. And he's going to need to avoid taking any big shots. I mean, the guy's got a decent chin, but like Canelo and Golovkin are, you know, next level punchers in the division, along with Jermall Charlo and Danny Jacobs. And I don't think at this point Saunders has faced anybody that can punch quite like them. I mean, like, he's faced a guy who can throw haymakers like them, but not a guy who can punch with, like, his jab is going to rock you the way, you know, Jermall Charlo's will.
Okay.
David Lemieux doesn't even throw a jab.
If we play safe and say that he does fight one of these two or either of them, and Golovkin or Canelo win, where would you put Billy Joe Saunders' name, like, under their ranking of people they beat? Would he be like the best win Golovkin's had, or the second best, or what?
He would not be the best win that Golovkin's had. I think Danny Jacobs is still going to be that. Jacobs is just more of a threat in the ring. And then for Canelo, he would probably be up there. I don't know where he'd rate. Probably in the top three of Canelo's wins. Maybe number two behind Laura.
Okay. Which champion do you believe has the best year, and which champion do you believe has the worst year? Names, activities, performances, etc.
What is this talk? Like, what is this asking?
It says has, but I'm thinking it's had the best year.
Okay, let's
had the worst
but
year.
We've talked about 2017 stuff already, so yeah. Let's just say let's hope that they're talking about the future.
Okay. It does say has, so maybe.
Yeah, maybe they're right and we're wrong in the way we interpreted them. I mean, they did write it
wrong.
They did leave out like some key bits of information, like contact would have helped.
They do have a question mark. Okay, they got that much.
Well, it's just a statement. Which champion do you believe has the best year, and which performance do you believe has the worst? I mean, I couldn't even say that without an inflection.
Yeah, you still made it sound like a question.
So they have to be a champion right now. I would say. Damn, this is a good one, but I'm going to go with Anthony Joshua.
Original.
Well, he's humble.
Very.
Oh, it didn't say who's going to have the most humble year. I'm going to say probably Lomachenko. I don't really see him getting any really, really tough fights at 130 this year. And if he moves to 135, he's going to get spoon-fed.
Okay. If they held a boxing match on Mars, Right now, which two boxers do you think could fight best in a spacesuit against one another? Oh, okay. That's just the end of the question.
So Mars does not have a liquid core like the Earth, which means that there's no gravity there.
There's no gravity on Mars?
I mean, well, there's like a very weak gravitational pull. So like,
I'm going to look it up because I don't really trust you that much.
Dude, I'm sick with this science stuff. Look it up. Look it up. While he's looking it up.
3.7 meters per second is the acceleration of acceleration of gravity is 3.7. Earth's is 9.8 meters per second squared.
Yeah, so that's not.
So it's like a third. If that's a fair equivalence to make. I don't know if it's like
essentially
different.
You could fly on Mars. Tyson Fury couldn't, but we could. I would say that this is a hypothetical question. 38% is ridiculous.
Earth's gravity.
Wilder. And
are you sure? I feel like his windmill, he'd just fly off.
Well, yeah, he can move. Like, yeah, he would know how to move and
if he manipulate. Misses a single punch, the momentum of his fist would carry him like across the surface of Mars. It'd be tough to stop him.
Well, then he'd need somebody who's good at running. So
he'd fly right out of the ring, and then he'd get 20 counted out.
Well, how big is the ring?
That's a good question. Is there a different ring size on Mars?
What if we put him in Hell in a Cell?
Need to find a way to get on top of it. Throw mankind off.
If you could see one boxer get thrown off the cage, who would you pick? And why is it Naoya Inoue?
Yeah, it's him because his name's dumb and I can't pronounce it.
So, just thus far on the podcast, you've badmouthed Naoya Inoue. Whatever that name was from the anime. Shinsuke Nakamura.
I didn't badmouth him yet, but I will if you want
Asuka.
Me to. I haven't badmouthed her either, but I can. I'm ready.
Sasha Banks?
Yeah, she's a weeb.
A what?
A weeb.
Oh, I thought you called her a weed. Like, no. What does that mean? Is she really skinny? Does she pop up at unexpected times? And what is your hate with Nakamura?
I don't like his leather pants. I don't like his Skrillex haircut. And I think he's just aggressively okay.
Do you think it's okay when Eddie Murphy wears leather pants?
Yeah, because he parties all the time. I don't see Nakamura partying all the time.
Okay, but like, I just don't get it. Like, why don't you like him?
I don't know.
You don't think he's cool?
Not like someone? No, not really.
He's really popular.
Okay. There you go.
Ask the next question.
Any boxers you think might retire by the end of the year? Any surprises?
Let's see. Well, not
not Nakamura.
Yamanaka's definitely gonna retire. Like, he should have retired already.
Is he gonna get knocked out again?
He's gonna get stopped by Neri, I'm guessing. Or it's gonna be one of those really depressing decisions where he looks just good enough to give himself hope, but really we know he should not be boxing anymore. I think he's won. Narvaez is gonna retire. He's fighting Zolani Tete, and that's just not gonna go well for him. So I think that's a retirement waiting to happen. Those are the only two off the top of my head, unless Tyson Fury decides that to turn, like, actually turns pro again. I can see him retiring by the end of the year. Those would be my picks.
Okay. PBC Fox, Santa Cruz versus Avalos boxing show credits say that their shows are produced or edited by ESPN. Is this a question? It says that their shows are edited or produced by ESPN.
Question mark. He's like,
yeah, is he asking if we believe this or
is it? Do you believe my factual statement that's maybe not factual? I don't know.
Is he asking if he misread it or something? I'm confused by this question.
Maybe he's trying to question us, like, do we know? Like, oh, well, let me check these guys right here. Bet you they don't know if this is true or not. I don't know. I don't watch the credits. I just turn the channel off as soon as the fight's over.
Yeah.
And then I go read anime.
Okay, I'm gonna leave. It's time for me to go. What does 2018 hold for Amir King Kong? Will he fight more than once? Will he fight Broner? Is he still a big draw? Will he fight Kelly Brook?
He's gonna fight Luis Ortiz for the rights to the name, is my first prediction.
Well, it's King Kong and King Kong. There's a difference in spelling there and a difference in meaning.
Luis Ortiz does not speak English. How does he know?
Checkmate, I guess.
Khan's going to fight Chris Van Heerden. And potentially later in the year, we'll see him fight in America against a decent level opposition, possibly the winner of Alexander and Ortiz, which should be phenomenal. And then next year, in the springtime, we should see him fight Kelly Brook. I don't think Kelly the Broner fight happens. I'd love it, but I don't think we'd see it happen.
Does he beat any of those people, you think?
He's going to beat two of them, not Kelly Brook. I think Brook beats him.
Okay. We're out of questions.
Wow, that was thrilling. I want a special shout out to all the people who asked questions. Especially those of you that ask questions about boxing.
Yeah, avoided questions about anime.
You avoided questions about anime.
Yeah, I know. Shout out to me.
Yeah, shout out to you, new CEO of Sunday Puncher, master mm-hmm. delegator.
Extreme delegation techniques.
I mean, look, there's no secret that you're a supreme leader. Like, okay, that's actually not cool of me to say. I'll say that you're a very good leader. Mm-hmm. You are soon to get a promotion at work.
Yep.
There's a rumor of whether or not you're more accurate than a computer.
Yeah, it's being tested right now.
And you know, when you're administering ultrasound tests, like, that's pretty good, you know.
Who's that railroad guy who raced the machine and won and then died? John I'm basically Henry? That guy. Yeah, I'm John or Henry, but John, I'm not gonna die. John Henry? I think it's John Henry.
Is John Henry a real person?
Did you see that? What's his name? Mark Henry, the WD guy. He retired. Yeah, John Henry. That's his name. American folk hero.
Okay, so what is the point of John Henry's story? So he races a train track or something, a train. No, that's not what he does.
He was hammering a steel drill into a rock to make holes for explosives to construct a railroad tunnel. And then there was, like, they made this, like, new, like, machine that was doing it faster than people. And he raced the machine and he won. I guess it's proving that man is still better than machine. But then he died afterwards. So really,
he actually lost then.
Yeah. The machine killed
him. Because the machine is still making holes.
Yeah, machine don't stop.
Is this based off of a true story, though?
We've officially thrown shade at folk heroes now, too.
Okay, yeah. Actually, right here. See, in Wikipedia, a source of truth. The historical accuracy of many of the aspects of the John Henry legend are subject to debate. So that is, like, their low-key way of saying it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing this story in school, and I just, you know, wasn't the smartest kid in class, and I just really struggled with, like, but is this true or not? Like, this does seem a little far-fetched that he would be able to beat a machine, and why did he die after? This is what I think about. Also, the non-liquid core of Mars, which is true. Look it up. Mars does not have a molten core the way Earth does. And that's why they don't have a very strong gravitational pull, similar to the moon.
Well, look at you with your astronomy facts.
Yeah, that's more astrogeology, but
I apologize for that mistake.
Yeah, that look, man, you gotta it's all about the details. You know what we should have talked about? Clarissa Shields' fight. Did you watch it?
I started watching around 5. I jumped into Discord and watched it with Robbie and Tweed.
And what'd you think?
I mean, she was beating the shit out of that girl, but that girl just kept coming until she lost the decision.
She was coming up until they read the decision. When they throw body shots, it always makes me kind of flinch, because what if they hit him in the boob? Like, does that really hurt?
I have no idea.
Is that a foul?
I don't think so.
So this is now I'm delegating to you to find out if boob shots are illegal in boxing for women.
Okay. I'm going to Google it right now.
Okay. Don't clear your search history after, just to be safe.
It's too late for that.
Or control shift N.
There we go. Mixed martial arts. Can girls punch each other in the boobs?
Yep. This is what everyone wants to know.
Kind of the same as a body shot, but instead it's a boob shot. Or is this the same concept as a nut shot? Yes, they're legal targets considered a part of the body.
But the nuts are the same way.
Oh, this guy has a girlfriend in the forum, and he's saying that his girlfriend claims that they're as delicate as testicles. And if it is legal, they should definitely be targeted.
She has both. Because how does she know?
That's true. She must have both. He must be going out with China.
No, not going there. So Ludlow's posted a picture. You know how we said earlier that he was out having a steak dinner with his fiance. So he posted a picture of his dinner. And first of all, the tablecloth is dirty.
Yeah, it's a filthy tablecloth.
So I don't know if this is a nice steak restaurant. And second of all, it looks like he orders his steak well done. There's extra, like, burnt. Like, they left it on the pan for 1 minute too long. So I wonder if Ludlow listens to the podcast. He's, like, now, like, the star of his – like, the most popular guy in his town, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
And his opinion on the neck tattoos, he has said – and he didn't even tag the right person to respond to. No wonder why you didn't say anything. He says he looks like a gangbanger now, which basically means that he's siding with Beyer.
Yeah, him and Beyer on the same boat.
We should have known that they were in this all together all along. So before we started recording, we're talking about cartoons. And we're going to do a whole other podcast. And in fact, this is what we're doing. We're just going to start another podcast to talk about this stuff.
Cartoons,
but not really. But like, what would you say are like the five greatest cartoons of your childhood?
Okay, of my childhood, thinking of five.
Now you didn't have a normal childhood.
Yeah, I lived off of Boomer Action, Boomerang's channel, where they played old cartoons from like the '70s and eighties. So my favorite all time was Herculoids.
I've never even heard of that. That sounds like something you get. When you're on vacation in Greece.
I don't know. It's like this family and they're on an alien planet and there's like – they have like five like monsters that are part of their family. And each monster – there's like a dragon that can shoot lightning out of its eyes. There's a giant stone ape.
Okay. I'm looking at a picture of what you're describing right now. And there's two things that look like the little – like they look like
– That's Gloop and Gleep.
Dots. Yep. Yeah. You know the Gloop dots candy?
Yeah.
The dots candy, they also look like – those little things in Legend of Zelda, the original, that's what they look like, except they're white or ghosts.
Yeah, Gloop and Gleep they're always like the best because they can just shapeshift into anything. So they're super useful.
And then there's rhino.
Yeah, that's a six-legged rhino. And that little horn shoots out these little balls that are like little bullets, basically. It shoots bullets out of its head.
Six legs. So he has four regular legs. And then does he have one like special leg?
No. Those are just normal legs, I guess. Yeah, he runs into things and he shoots bullets out of his horn. That was my favorite. I don't know why I love that one so much.
It only had one season.
Yeah, I watched repeats a lot.
Okay, and then what else?
There was Wacky Races.
Wacky Races is amazing.
Yeah, I love Wacky Races.
Penelope Pitstop.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of the
I always like the
old gangsters.
Hold on.
You know which ones I'm talking about. The old gangsters. Yeah.
My favorite was the like mad scientist guy who like always had his like weird car.
The Anthill Mob. Yeah, yeah. The mad scientist guy is
the converted car.
Is that what it was called?
Professor Pat Pending. That's his name.
Professor Pat Pending. Oh, yeah, the converter car. And then there's a Penelope Pitstop driving the compact pussycat.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we all want to drive that.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Dastardly, one of the greatest all-time heels in all of cartoons. And he drove the Mean Machine. And according to Wikipedia, the 00... Dick Dastardly Mean Machine with Muttley, they won a grand total of zero times. They won zero races. They never even placed in the top three.
Wow. I didn't actually know that. Let's see.
I bet on it.
You bet on it?
How did the Slag Brothers win the most races? You know which ones those are, right? They're the guys like that look like
the Hairy Cavemen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They won a record 14 top three finishes.
How many did Pat Pending win?
Pat Pending? He placed top three 10 times.
Okay. Yeah, I love the Wacky Races. That was a good show. Let's see. There's also, did you ever watch the Land of the Lost?
The Land of the Lost?
Yeah, nope. It's from 1974. It was like this like family, like they're like river rafting or something, and they like went into this cave that like transported them to the Land of the Lost, where like basically prehistoric times.
No.
So it's like a whole bunch of dinosaurs and stuff. That was pretty good. I watched a lot of Johnny Quest.
Johnny Quest, yep.
Johnny Quest is a good one. Oh, I'm trying to think of some. There's another one that I watched a lot of. It's Herculoids and this other one, and I can't remember the other one now. So I guess I
the Snorks. Didn't like this.
I did watch the Snorks, yeah. Snorks are never like my favorite, but I watch them when they're on.
What about Secret Squirrel?
Oh, I love Secret Squirrel and Hong Kong Phooey too.
I never watched Hong Kong Phooey, but Secret Squirrel that's legit.
I did like Secret. I think Secret Squirrel and Hong Kong Phooey had some crossover episodes.
Secret Squirrel did have crossover stuff, because like I felt like sometimes I'd be watching a show and then I'm like, wait a second, like you're not on this show.
You know, a show a cartoon I always thought was overrated and I never really liked when it was on is
the Smurfs.
Well, I didn't like the Smurfs, that's true, but me too. I didn't like Rocky and Bullwinkle.
I never watched Rocky and Bullwinkle either. I thought it was pretty lame. Did you ever watch Josie and the Pussycats?
Yeah, I like the shark. No respect, you know, that one. Wait, I mean, is that the right one with the shark who always talks about no respect?
It's a show about a band. I don't know why there'd be a shark involved.
Oh, no, okay. I need to figure this out. No, I didn't really watch Josie and Pussycats, so no respect. Yeah,
it was kind of a girl show.
Yeah.
The new Scooby-Doo movies.
Jabberjaw, that's what it was. I've never seen that. I'm pretty sure there's a band in Jabberjaw too, which is, Jabberjaw is a 15-foot air-breathing gray white shark and the drummer for the Neptunes, a rock group made up of four teenagers, Biff, Shelly, Bubbles, and Clamhead, who live in an underwater civilization in the year 2076.
They're remaking Wacky Races.
Really?
Yeah.
Has it like came out yet, or is it planned for a later year?
Where did I find this? But I think they're bringing it back. Oh, no, wait. It's just a re-release. They re-released it last year. That's awesome. I hope it's in HD.
Oh, I loved Captain Planet, too.
That's like 80s. That's actually like your era of, you know.
I was born in 93. How is 80s my era?
Whatever, man. Don't look.
Pretty much, Boomer Action played a lot of pretty much every single one of the Hanna-Barbera cartoons. So
yeah, did you ever watch Space Ghosts?
Yeah, I was really confused with Space Ghost because like Adult Swim uses like the guy who looks like Space Ghost.
Yeah,
and so I got that just like I never really, I still don't know for sure.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you.
It confused me.
I am totally with you. One of my favorites was new Scooby-Doo movies. Like, you know, you had Scooby-Doo with like the Harlem Globetrotters or Batman and Robin, which are the greatest episodes. And if we're just going to go back to wacky races for a minute, so it doesn't make sense that they won so many races because they had seven dudes in one car, first of all, okay? They had seven dudes in one car, and they drove a car that was basically like, you know, a 1930s car.
Mm-hmm.
And Penelope Pitstop drove like a sick, like that car would still be like fast today.
What about the guy who had like the dragster?
Well, what's his name? Dick Dastardly drove basically a rocket with wheels.
And okay? He didn't win at all.
And he never won, but he drove a rocket with wheels. I mean, the Creepy Coupe is just like kind of, well, I don't know what the hell the Creepy Coupe is. It looks like it should be carry, or it should have some horses dragging it. And then the one that won all the time, the Boulder Mobile, it was a boulder with wheels on it.
It's like some Flintstone stuff.
I mean, it is. Man, the Arkansas Chug-a-Bug. Man, this... I think this is what we're doing on the SciTube next time we get together. We're just going to watch Wacky Races.
Wacky Races is good. The Vroom Roadster. That's what the dragster was called.
The dragster. All right. Well, this has been another episode of the Sunday Puncher mailbag episode. Now, I did something this week that I've never done. And that is I went on iTunes and I actually rated a podcast. And I didn't know how easy it was. It's literally, you search the podcast, get your phone, you search the podcast, and then when the podcast, the one you're looking for comes up, you press on it, and then you scroll down, and then you'll see 5 stars down there, and you can rate 1 through 5, and rate 5, and then you press the button, and that's it. You're done. You've rated a podcast. So I invite you and encourage you, if you're listening to this podcast right now, go to iTunes or go to whatever thing it is that you use to watch or listen to podcasts. You don't watch podcasts. And rate us 5 stars. That helps people find the podcast, helps people, get to consume this content. And then I wanted to make kind of like a, this is like, if you're still listening, which I'm sure very few people are at this point, but we're going to come out with some new stuff. And this new stuff is going to require a lot more than what we've been putting in. So I don't want to go too much into it before because we still haven't demoed it yet. But within the next couple of podcasts, I will know for sure what we're going to do, how regular this new content is going to be coming out. But we're looking to expand this year and not even double, but like triple, quadruple the content we put out. So be on the lookout for that. Please rate and review the podcast. We will be back soon. T-Money, thanks for coming on.
Yup.
Anything else you want to say about Kevin Gates recently being released from prison? What was he in for?
He's tried to go legit. Like he got famous and he started to go legit, but he got arrested for some old charges that he had. I think it was weapons possessions and some other stuff from before he really started blowing up as a rapper. But it's like super old charges.
Do you think it's fair?
That he went to prison?
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably should have. I'm sure he's guilty, but he's out now and he can make music for us to enjoy again.
Do you think Bobby Shmurda's innocent?
Oh, God, no. Bobby Shmurda, I'm just waiting for when I think I did the math a couple days ago with a friend. I think he's getting out in like 2024 or something.
Ooh.
He got like 5 more years for getting in a gang fight in jail with a shank, but the judge is letting him serve that consecutively with his other sentence, so he's got like 7 years, I think, and he's gonna get out in like 2024 or something. I don't know.
Have you already put a thing in your calendar?
Yeah, I'm waiting for the bangers gonna drop when he gets out. But yeah, he's definitely guilty of pretty much everything that they charged him with. He tried to kill his own brother, I think.
Well, I mean, naturally, but
yeah,
I mean, you've got a brother, you know what it's like.
I've knocked my brother out a couple times. I never tried to kill him.
Is that a true story?
What, that I knocked him out?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hit him with an Xbox controller.
Okay. That'll do it. The first one, right?
Yeah, no, it was an Xbox 360 controller.
So you hit your brother with an Xbox controller and you knocked him out?
Yeah.
Where'd you hit him?
In the back. Like, right? he was walking away from me, and I grabbed it, and I held it like an axe, and I had one, you know how it has like two grips to hold onto? I held one of them, and I just used the other one as like the point of it, as like the impact, and I hit him right in the center of the spine.
Okay.
And he like turned around like he was going to hit me, and then he like kind of like stumbled a little bit, and he like passed out.
So what you got to set this up. So why did you hit him?
I don't actually remember. We used to fight a lot.
Did he forgive you?
Yeah, he's knocked me out before too, so it's fine.
What did he knock you out for?
I was just pestering him, and he got real sick of it.
I feel like you're holding back.
No, I don't know what you mean.
We've knocked each other out. I mean, that's a little excessive to be knocked out by your brother, or to knock your brother out.
I mean, it's not like he like just like punches me in the face and I get knocked out. Like, me and him both have like this, I don't know what it's called. It's like some like syncopathy thing. I don't know the technical term for it, but like,
oh my god.
What?
So a syncope is a faint.
So it's like fainting. I don't know. The doctor's like explained, because he's gone to the hospital for like passing out in public before, when he like, whenever we like hit like our funny bones or anything, like we just get super dizzy and pass out.
So you got little pressure points in your body where someone could just basically touch your off switch?
I've been knocked out a couple times at school, and someone like has hit me in the funny bone and stuff, and I just like pass out. One time he kicked me, and he kicked me in the leg for some reason. He like hit my knee, and I just got super dizzy, and I just passed out. And then it's happened before, like in math class, I was like roughhousing around with my friend, and he shoved me into a desk.
In math class, where you're supposed to do this.
Yeah. I fell back, and I hit my elbow on the desk, and I just passed out. And it was the first time I'd ever passed out. So I like was super confused, and I got up, and like, I didn't know what like passing out was. Like, I didn't know what it felt like. So I just like got up and walked to the front of the class, and I was like, what is happening right now? Cause like, I just like spaced out. And then like my teacher like gets up. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, where am I? Why is everyone here? Because I like woke up, and I thought I was like just got out of bed, and I was like in my room or something. And I was like, what are these people doing in my room? And then I got sent to the principal's office.
So you have like 30 desks in your room?
Yeah, I was confused. I thought I was like half dreaming.
Jesus.
If you've never been knocked out before and then you wake up in a room full of people looking at you, it's weird.
No, I haven't been knocked out before.
I can show you.
I don't have those little pressure points that you do.
Yeah,
but this is good to know. I've filed this away.
Yeah, I haven't passed out in like a long time because of it. I don't know if it happens anymore.
Oh, we'll find out. We will find out.
I also learned that when I do get dizzy like that, if I just like get low to the ground, I don't end up passing out. If I try and like walk it off, that's when I pass out.
You're just setting yourself up for all kinds of stuff here. I think we should stop now.
I
need to work on a Photoshop that you are going to love.
Okay.
All right.
I'm excited.
Well, thanks for listening. What?
I was just going to ask if it's going to be a boxer wrestling collage.
No, it's not. Okay. It is not. It'll be better.
Ooh.
Well, thanks for listening. We will be back next week.
All right. Like it trying to be timeless. Don't lack. Don't lack. My nigga, don't lack. Don't let me catch you lacking, famo. Like it trying to be timeless. Don't lack. Don't lack, my nigga, don't lack. Don't let me catch you lacking, fam. I'm trying to be time.